and you're listening to The Afternoon Show with Anne Forbes Cooper. And if you live in or around Greene County, then you probably know my next guest or will have witnessed his boundless energy, enthusiasm and good humour, whether at social events, political meetings, rallying the business community, or most recently marshalling the resources and volunteers necessary to help those whose homes and businesses were flooded during Hurricane Irene. Local lad Vince Seeley is a product of Catskill High School. He's president of the Board of Trustees of Catskill Village. Recently, in the middle of his third two-year term, he announced that he was leaving to move to Minnesota to be nearer his wife's family. He will serve out the remainder of his term till the end of the year. Vinny, is that right?
Till the spring. We're going to stay through basically till the summer.
Okay. But he's leaving his post at one of the most challenging times in the village's history. And for every compliment he has earned, there's a corresponding criticism. So welcome to the afternoon show, Vinny.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me, first of all, what is the progress on cleaning up Hurricane Irene in Catskill itself? Where are you? How much further is there to go? What are people still facing?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got most of the physical damage has been removed. I think now we're down to the emotional damage and the financial damage, where people are starting to realize, as I've said in the past, you know, the pictures that floated away or that got ruined, the yearbook that got ruined, you know, FEMA can't, there's just no money that replaces things like that. So I think we're down to that emotional skin that got scarred from the hurricane. But from a physical standpoint, we're back. People are rebuilding. I saw a great group of people right on West Main Street from the church came in with a bunch of carpenters, and they're just rebuilding this person's home from scratch. It was just amazing. So those heels are being fixed. Emotional and financial are still out there.
In your time here, has Catskill ever gone through something like this before?
Nothing to this nature. You know, from a public emergency perspective, the closest thing we had was something we called the tire fire back in the day, when over by the DO warehouse, the back of where Walmart is today, there was a massive tire fire. But that was really just right to that area. No homes burned, but still, from an emergency services, that was similar, but this is more personal.
Let's just put a little context into this. So you have been in office for...
This is my ninth year. This would be three year. Terms. Yep, three-year terms.
So you've seen Catskill change somewhat dramatically. Can you just describe the kind of curve that Catskill has taken?
Yeah, and you know, how I'm going to describe it, I'm going to try to be... you know, not pat a lot of ourselves on the back, but from when we showed up, you know, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, if you went down Main Street, quite frankly, you wouldn't let your kids go to the movie theater because it just wasn't safe. You know, we noticed right away at that point there were, you know, people, home invasions, there were robberies, there were just that element that did not make you feel safe to be. So one of the first things that I see change for us as a community is police presence. And that's a double-edged sword. You don't want to take people's liberty away and have a cop at every corner, but people need to be safe. They will not come and they will not buy a home in a community. Now, the other side to that is it costs money for these services. And, you know, I'm sure I'll definitely want to get to kind of our tax base at some conversation here. Yeah. But from what I've seen change, I see that we're safer. I see that we have convenience. You know, there were people that with Walmart, you know, Walmart is, I believe in today's society, a necessary evil. It does bring products to some folks that couldn't afford to have those products, and it brings it close. They're right in Catskill. We couldn't buy, literally, it was the old joke, we couldn't buy underwear in Catskill, basically in Greene County 10 years ago. Now it's right there in the village of Catskill. We have these services. Lowe's came in. Think of the whole setup up there. We've got, you know, Walgreens now. We're bringing the services here. Now we just need to continue with the focus of bringing the people here and continue with any type of development to build up our tax base.
Because the Walmart and I think Lowe's too haven't they both sued the town or the village to lower their tax assessments?
Yep, Schedule B. There's and this is not something that we're surprised about. It's part of the way that companies do business. You know, it's not just major corporations. That's what makes the news. But other folks that come in can take that same Schedule B and get it. It's a grading, basically a 10-year downgrade of your tax assessment totally building up to your full assessment at 10 years. Don't quote me on the exact year, but that's the nature of that beast.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Walmart coming in was very controversial because people argued that it might take business away from Main Street,
yeah.
rightly or wrongly. But what we're facing now is that there's more empty shop fronts than I've certainly seen in since I moved up here. And today there was the announcement of the chocolate cafe closing as
yep.
well.
Yep.
I mean, what's the answer? I mean, how can you attract more people into Main Street to shop and more of the kind of businesses that will get will get people into Main Street?
I think, and this took a little bit of soul searching, and it will... hopefully resonate with some of your listeners, is that, you know, I think we in Catskill at times we try to be somebody that we're not. You know, we try to have this nightlife and we try to have this restaurant life, and maybe we just have to come to the realization we just don't have the mass of people to support those, or to support, and I'm being a little dramatic to make my point here, you know, a $16 cheeseburger versus the, you know, an $8 cheeseburger. I think those price points need to be brought in for the companies for the businesses that come in. We need to really identify what are the needs of the community. And we're basically a daytime community. We have the courthouse, we have the county building, and we have a lot of law firms and some engineering firms. Everything is bustling. You go down Main Street during the day, there are humans on Main Street and wanting to buy stuff. You go there tonight, it's pretty empty. But, you know, me growing up, I remember there were only a few, there was a couple bars on Main Street, and that was pretty much it. We never really were a restaurant. So a couple of years ago, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago, we had this boom where we did have a little bit of energy.
You had
Main
all
Street.
The galleries coming in, galleries. And you had a bit of a resurgence. You had the Saturday strolls, you had people there in the evening.
Yep.
And then the galleries couldn't sustain themselves. The recession hit, and we're down to kind of, you know, very few shops now that are open.
And I think we're going to go through this again, because what's happening right now is Catskill is becoming cheap again. Our real estate prices have been driven down. They were driven up at some point. So now we're going to have folks who said, hey, I'm a retired carpenter and I always wanted to open up a deli. Hey, I can go buy that building on Main Street for $55,000 and I'm going to open up a deli. And they might not have that skill set to run a deli. So we're going to go through that cycle again, I really believe. But I think right now, you know, on a side note related to Main Street, I went out on MLS, the Greene County Multiple Listing Services, and if you put in Catskill Main Street, there's 24 listings. Those are the ones that are out on MLS. They're going through some sort of a broker. I'm sure there are others. Yeah. For sale. We just have a massive amount.
I know some young people in Hudson that are moving to Catskill now because there's cheaper rent than Hudson. So,
And I think that's a great thing because we're bringing back in that diverse crowd. We're bringing in that art crowd that I thought was always an asset for our village to have. And I think that's what, quite frankly, drew the radio station, you know, this radio station and some of the energy behind you guys over to the Catskill area with the community center and some of the folks that are there. You know, I try not to be in the position that I'm in, I try not to force things too hard. Everybody says, you know, what are you going to do about, you know, bringing businesses into Catskill, and what are you going to do about this? And I think there's an ebb and there's a flow, and you can guide it, but I really think you can't force it. You can't force us to be something that we're not.
I think that's a good point. Now, what happened to the downtown and waterfront revitalization strategy that was in place, what was it, two, three years ago, supposedly offering new opportunities for businesses and industries all along the creek.
Yep. No pun intended, but it's dead in the water. You know, I think that it really was something that was, Greene County IDA, that Industrial Development Agency, bellied up with some money. I'm going to say it was $50,000, maybe it was $90,000, to do this study and to do a lot of work on it. And there just was no traction. There were some folks that came in and took options on buildings. The Dunn's building was one. I know they were talking to the Coney Island, but they never moved. I think one of the things that was a major disappointment for me personally, because I grew very attached to the project, was the Union Mills. You know, to me, I think that not launching and that not happening scared a lot of other investors away. If that would have popped and there would have been three people that would have moved in there and cars would have parked out there and there would have been flowers growing, so on and so forth, that would have spawned a lot of other things. But the failure of that really is quite frankly, a black eye for us in the community.
And that's just on kind of temporary, permanent hold, or what's the status of Union Mills at this point?
It's basically in foreclosure, and now, you know, in any type of a foreclosure like that, you're going to have lawsuits flying around and things like that. So it's not just the foreclosure as it would be on a private residence, where that's a pretty pretty set logical flow of how that's going to make it back to market. This is a mess. So, you know, I'm hoping that it will be bought by a developer who will turn it into office space. I just don't think the model is there for high-end condos right on the water right there. I think it needs to be office space. And I think we can attract companies from the city, like a web development company I talked to a year ago that would think it would be great to come there. They can bring their clients there. They could bring them up to Hudson, have lunch over here, shoot them over, do business by us, maybe grab dinner, come back, put them on the train, and go back. I think, you know, between us and Hudson and some of the surrounding areas, we have this great base to do business. We just have to start getting it together and get coordinated and make it happen.
Well, what about the Heart of Catskill Association? What's its role in all of that? Isn't it there supposedly to promote local businesses? And
yeah. Yep.
But I don't see it actually, other than the cats, doing that much. Certainly not at any of the meetings that you've held. I rarely see them there.
Right.
And, you know, I'm somewhat confused as to how you guys work together, if at all.
Yeah, we do work together. I think, you know, the Heart of Catskill Association is really, in my eyes, the Catskill Chamber of Commerce. It's kind of one and the same, mm-hmm. even though they're different, you know, set up financially different, and the 401c or whatever it is set up a little different. I think that, you know, in some ways, I've made my own bed, so I have to lay in it. So I'm the type of person where if I don't see something happening, I have to go and get in the mix. And a great example to me is the Business Summit meeting. You were at a few of them, Ann, for those.
Yeah,
and I thought the first couple were successful. And just like we had predicted, it would start to peter off where the, you know, kind of the serious people would stick around that would want to do something. And, you know, that really, in my opinion, I've been vocal about this, that's something that should have been taken by a Chamber of Commerce, maybe Greene County Chamber of Commerce. But it just comes down to manpower. And most of the board for the Heart of Catskill, they're not paid members. They're volunteers. Some of them...
Like yourself. Well, you're...
Yeah, well, we make $5,000 a year.
Okay,
so right. So it's close to volunteer. It buys coffee.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're... And some of them may not have that skill set that I just fortunately have to bring to the table that I'm in the business world.
Now, you mentioned the business summits. Now, one of the most successful initiatives that came out of that, I thought, was the farmers market moving to Main Street. Do you want to just jump in there?
That's my favorite disappointment of last year.
Last Saturday before, there was like three farm shops. There was hardly anybody there, and it's off on this parking lot at this side, and it's worse than it ever was down at the Point.
I know, I think we did everything right with the Main Street Farmers Market. We brought the community together through the Business Summit. We had strategy sessions. We talked about the best place to put it. We did the marketing correct. We got people's buy-in. I personally, and I'll challenge any Main Street business to say that this didn't happen, I went, or one of our board members went and talked to each Main Street merchant and said, this is the plan, this is the game plan. And everybody was like, yeah, I'm on board. Now, you know, after it got going, and, you know, whether it be through jealousy, whether it be through not seeing the big picture, because quite frankly, if I own if I make buttons or if I make magnets, whatever my business is, and I have a mass of people coming to downtown Catskill on a Saturday morning, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to promote my buttons, my magnets, my haircuts, my whatever I'm selling. It's an opportunity. We were bringing people here and people were excited to be here. And the atmosphere we were setting up, it was definitely a cultural event. But it was
people
also
were bringing their kids.
Yeah,
there was music,
bicycles, was
and there was a little cafe atmosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all there. Yeah. I remember. Yeah,
yeah. And to me, it goes back to the culture of our community. I think we're trying at that time and still to today, we're trying to make it something that
it's
might not be.
Well, I mean, just to be specific, what happened was a lot of the shop owners put together a petition and complained about the market being on Main Street because they said it took business away from their businesses.
That's correct, because their patrons, and I'm telling you the way it went down, because their patrons couldn't find their shop. They couldn't make their way around Main Street. So what we did in response to that was we went and purchased more signs, and actually the county stepped up and gave us some better signage that we used to get people to get around. But it just, by that point, I think it was, unfortunately, the civil war that we have kind of brewing behind the scenes of the old versus the new. And you know what I mean? And at a certain point, the old won, because, you know, I don't have a way to prove that they weren't losing business, you know, in my mind. So I really couldn't see people lose business and lose their livelihood over a farmer's market. So I'll be the first one to admit it. I gave in. I mean, that was one thing in my whole time. And people know I'm a pig head, so I don't give in easy. I gave in on that one. I said, let's just call it a day and move it. And it's sad. To this day, I still talk about it every time I go to the other farm, the new farmer's market in the corner there. I'm just sad.
It brings up, how do you help solve that Civil War issue to some extent? I mean, that issue is not an issue just for Catskill, but it's in Cairo and Durham and Greenville and all over the two counties. The friction between people that have been here a long, long time or all their lives and people that have just moved here.
Yeah, I think that it's gonna be like it's gonna evolve. It's gonna be like evolution, you know. And I think some of my prime examples are, you know, I've tried very hard to, and I'll use Thomas Cole as an example because that's a nice, not only just a nice tourist attraction, but the people that run it are friendly. If I go there today, and me and you go there today, they're going to welcome us in. They'll give us a tour. I've brought folks there that are that have lived here their whole life with me in Catskill, have never been to the Thomas Cole House, really don't even get the concept of it.
Well, the Thomas Cole House is kind of a newcomer in town, as it is now.
Celebrated its 10th anniversary.
And they've never, you know, but they've never gone there. They don't understand that it brings people to Catskill that have money, that will buy gas and will pay sales tax. I mean, there's that whole engine. So I've brought people there, but I just don't see a lot of the reciprocation from the other area. So in other words, I just don't see a lot of cross pollination between kind of our the two sets, the old timers and the newcomers. It's very hard to get them in a room together and have a good conversation. It's I call it, joking around, I call it clumping. You know, you put them all in a room and within a half an hour, old timers are over here and the new folks are over here and they're talking about whatever they want, and you can try to ram them back together, but it just doesn't happen. So you know, I think it's going to happen as some of the old timers either, you know, retire, move away, or become assimilated into the new folks moving in life. You know, I think a lot of times when we, you know, the people that put a lot of money into Main Street and fixing Main Street up, I mean, they took a gamble back in the 80s and the 90s. They took a really big gamble, and I don't think we give them the credit that they deserve today, because those buildings are still there. Now, you know, some of them are going to take a shellacking because of the real estate market is down, but at this point it doesn't matter. That building is still there, and it still makes Main Street look pretty good. Unfortunately for me, when I drive down the street, I'm constantly looking for things that are bad, because that's part of my job. I have to see, okay, that's not in place, so I got to call the cops, or that building has something going on with it, I got to get that fixed. But I've been starting to take a look back and say, wow, we really do have an awesome Main Street, and it's a lot of it is the newcomers that came in and invested money in our community.
And some of them have moved on or are giving up. And what about the finances of the village? You really only have, what, about 800 properties?
Yeah, we have 1,600 properties.
Oh, so I beg your pardon, 1,600 properties. Okay, yep. 4,000, 5,000 residents?
Yep, approximately.
And
yep.
Most of the income is coming from property taxes?
Well, virtually all of the income comes from property taxes. I mean, you know, we have clerk fees, police fees. We do get some from the perspective of grants and things like that. We get some money in, but it's by far doesn't even touch what our expenses are.
I mean, what does the future look like? What kind of a path are we going down? Because pensions and benefits keep rising, but with property prices, you know, still going down, and you have a 2% ceiling cap on tax levy, though we're not quite sure what's going to happen with that, because right. With the
it's a false cap.
It's a false
it's
cap.
It's a false
okay.
cap. I mean, any board of three of us board members can overvote the 2% and make it 20%. I mean, it's a false cap. It's a false cap. But anyway, I think, let me say this about where our finances, because I think this is where the question where you were going here is, because we're the county seat, and you're right, we have 1,696 properties, maybe 1,694 properties that are on the tax poll. They pay the brunt for everything. We have 100 properties that are off the tax roll, county building, churches, community center, so on and so forth. These are things that make also make us a good community, because we have these services right there. But we're, as taxpayers, you and I are taxpayers in the village, we're footing the bill for all that. Now think about this. the town of Catskill, which is here, and folks on the radio, I'm doing some graphics with my hands here, but I'm showing that basically the town of Catskill is a larger entity, but they don't, there's no town park. So everybody comes to the village to use our parks. We have Elliott Park, we have Dutchman's, we have a dog park. So we're
Point.
Yeah, the point. So
which is Dutchman's.
Yep. So the way it is, we as taxpayers are footing the bill for people in Catskill, Greenville, up the mountain, anywhere else to come in and use our parks. It's the same thing with our police. You know, in a certain respect, we're the police for the entire county. You know what I mean? A lot of things. Us being the county seat, any arrest for, you know, say for social services, a lot of those come through our court. That's your and I tax dollars paying for somebody that got arrested for fraud, for welfare fraud in Greenville. They come through our court and we pay a court clerk, we pay a judge, so on and so forth. All of that is because we're the county seat. Now, you know, some people say to me, well, that's the benefit of being the county seat, is that you have all these services there. You have the county people right there and they can go eat at your coffee shops. It's quite frankly more of a burden to us than it is. So to fix this, one of the things that we have to start to look to do is to sit down with the, say, for example, the town board and say, you know,
what can you combine?
We want to give you the cemetery. We want to give you Elliott Park. We want to give you Dutchman's. Then somebody in Palinville and somebody in Leeds and all over the Catskill proper are going to all chip in equally as to you and me as to that use of that park, because it quite frankly is everybody's park. We don't just say, you don't have to show your license at the beginning of when you go to Dutchman's and say, if you're a village resident, you can get in here. We'd let everybody come in there. So those are the types of things. You know, code enforcement. We have a code enforcement department. The town does. Part of the argument in the past of consolidating things like that is there is a reason there's a village and there's a reason why there's a town. The village is more commercial and the town is more rural. It's that simple. People can argue for days over it if they want. We have different zoning and a different theme we want to promote in the village than they do in the town. Merging the code enforcement, you're basically taking that power away from the village board and people like yourself that would possibly elect me in a position to represent you, but now you're overlaying that over an entire town. So we're not sure if the main direction of a code enforcement, moving it over there, would fit the needs of the village. So that's for code enforcement. Court is another one. Court, right now, we have a court. Town has a court. They have a fax machine. We have a fax machine. Could those two be merged together? Absolutely. We're the busiest court in the town, so in the county. So what would wind up happening is we'd have to get the town's buy-in to that. Now think about it. If you're a town board member or you're a town resident in Palinville, why would you want your taxes to go up? So you're going to fight it. I would if I lived in Palinville. I'm going to fight you merging the two courts, because now you're throwing all this, the activity that happens in the village court, you're spreading it out all over. So there's two sides to this. It's not just as easy. I can't just get three board members to raise their hand at a meeting and say, okay,
it's over. How long has this been going on? How long have you been trying to do this?
Oh, this is before my first election. This is one of the things that I brought forward. And you know, once you get in the mix, standing as an outsider, you look in and things seem easy. Just make a vote, and we're going to not have a court anymore. It's not that easy, because you have to realize that there's that ebb and flow of what makes us a village. Now, if there's a day we decide as taxpayers and residents of the village that we don't want a village anymore, we don't want to be separate from a town, we don't want to be the commerce center, we don't want to, then we have to go down that road. But right now, I don't see the mass of people demanding that.
Well, if we start to go, if the village starts to go bankrupt at some point, if it can't afford to pay for all of these pensions and all of these benefits and everything, is that when the crunch point is going to come?
We're at the crunch point, and that's why we're looking to give up Elliott Park. You know what I mean? We're at that point right now where, you know, our taxes are high, period, at the end of that sentence. There's no way I can sit here and do math to justify it. But our services are high. You know, there are emails that I get, and I hate to pick on my friends over here in Hudson while I'm here, but, you know, that I would get emails from friends that I have that are shop owners, and they're like, how do you get your street so clean so fast in Catskill? How do you get your main street? And we've always said, because that's our focus, we want to spend your tax money to make sure those people can get in there and buy a cup of coffee at Bob's or you know, wherever. So that's been our focus. what will happen as time goes on, Ann, is that we're not going to be able to clean it up. We're not going to be able to bring five guys in on a Saturday morning to clean the snow. We're only going to bring in two guys, so it's not going to get cleaned up as fast, and we're going to start to not have that level of service. So that's what you're going to start to lose is basically the level of service.
And how does the village's level of service on things like that compare to the town's?
Well, the town is set up a little bit differently in that the highway supervisor, that's an elected position. So the board only has, they only give him a dollar, you know, they give him the proverbial dollar, and then he spends it whatever way he needs to spend it. It's different for us. Our highway superintendent actually works for us. So when we call and we say, bring in five guys, you bring in five guys. That's basically the difference between those two. So it could work with the town, but then again, you're going to have what I was using earlier, and I'll pick on the friends from Palinville, but you know, somebody in Palinville, their tax money now, if we go into a town, they're going to want the same level of service we're giving Main Street to clean that off so people get in those shops. They're going to want us to come and shovel their driveway off with five guys at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's just a different theme that we've got going on in the two.
When you leave, I mean, who's going to be taking over?
We're still talking about that on the board right now. I mean, Jimmy Chewins has been my vice president for years, and he's, you know, besides being an excellent board member, he's become a good friend of mine, and we talk a lot. You know, we have different styles. I'm from the business world, so, you know, I'm very numbers crunching, and I'm very kind of to that fact. I think Jim is on the law enforcement side of the world, so I think although he's going to carry forward a lot of what we as a board want to see happen to the Village of Catskill, I think you'll see things change a little bit, but that might be good. You know, it might be enough of me, quite frankly, over time, and it might be time to bring in a different angle and to see how that'll shake things up. But as of right now, I personally, if I had the choice to make on my own, I would say that, you know, Jimmy Chewins would definitely be the person I see moving up into the president position, and then he would pick his vice president, which I'm sure it would be, you know, one of the guys that are that are in office right now.
I mean, it's obviously been a very hard decision for you to make to kind of give up your position here in Catskill, because you've really put your heart and soul into it.
I agree, and I you know, there's a lot of soul searching my wife and I did. You know, we own four properties in the Village of Catskill, you know, investment properties. So I'm not going to sell those. We're going to keep them. So I'm going to still be here and invested in the Village of Catskill. So I definitely don't want to see it go bad just from a personal financial standpoint. And plus, this is where I grew up. There's, you know, I drive down the street and I see people that, you know, that I went to high school with that now have families that I'm so proud to be able to just chat with them and have a cup of coffee with them. And I'm going to miss a lot of that. And we'll see. I still have property. Like I said, I still have some investment, but I still have some vacant land. We own 18 acres right here, right in the village, and I'm going to keep some of it. And if we decide that it doesn't work out in Minnesota, then we will definitely come back and build a house again, just like I did before. I've left before and come back.
Oh, right. Okay. What are you proudest of in your terms in office?
Yep. Making people proud of the village again. I think that's, I could sit here and say, you know, we balance budgets and we, you know, have a better structure of the police department and the department heads care more. But it comes down to, two things, and they may seem trivial, but I'm going to tell you them anyway, because I think they might make my point. We were having one of our second Saturday strolls one time, and we had a part-time cop working, just going up and down the street, making everything that everything was okay. And me and Chief Darling were standing there, and we watched him open a door for an elderly lady. And it just, Chief and I didn't say anything to each other. We just looked at each other as if to say, exactly, that's our point. She was so happy. You know what I mean? She just had a nice shopping experience. She had a bunch of bags. You know, she was at Hood & Company. She was over here. She was at da-da-da. She had a bunch of bags. Couldn't open the door. He reached and opened the door for her. That's customer. That's service. He wanted to do that for her. And then the second thing is I actually see people sweeping the sidewalk, picking up papers in front of the business. Now, granted, there's others that don't, that I want to, you know, go in there and yell at them every day of my life. But there's others that are out there and they sweep their sidewalk. If there's paper out there, they pick them up. That pride, it's really hard to understand. That pride wasn't always there. It was, well, nobody cares about Catskill, so I'm not going to care about Catskill. Nobody picks up the paper, so here, I'm going to throw my popsicle stick on the ground or my cigarette butt on the ground. That, I think, we've changed. There's a risk we could go back, because I see us kind of slipping a little bit right now. But if we can put some energy back into it. And what you mentioned earlier is definitely something I'm concerned about. Is we have had a lot of people. It's been almost a mass exodus. We've had a lot of people leave. And those are people who brought me energy, quite frankly, who used to be in the game a lot and be around and go to events, and they're gone. Now, some of it personal reasons, health, some of it is financial reasons. They're back to wherever they were from to make some money, but that energy is lost. And unless we get that energy back, you know, I couldn't have done this all on my own. I was always the person that I was in the front and doing the newspaper, but it was always everybody behind me that gave me that strength and gave me the ideas. You know, I maybe come up with five ideas my whole term. It's always taking somebody's thought and then crafting it into a political idea to sell to the board and then to sell to the people. And then you move forward with it. The farmers market on Main Street, not my idea. It was something that people brought forward. I championed it. We made it happen. That's been pretty much my entire political career in Catskill, has been taking ideas, molding them so they fit, and then implementing it through kind of a thoughtful project plan and making it happen.
I just want to open this up and say we haven't got much time left, so if MD is listening with a question, please call in. Tom, what's the
518-828-0290. 518-828-0290 is the number.
And I'm going to ask you, what's your biggest regret?
I think my biggest regret is not getting involved, is having, I call it village vision, that I am so focused on the village that I forget that we have partners in Hudson, I forget that we have partners in Saugerties, I forget that there's potential partners all over the place, and I get this village vision and I'm so focused on cleaning up my own backyard or whatever analogy you want to use, but that I haven't looked to see how can the county, as I'm trying to do now, seeing how the town can help us and seeing how the county can help us. I've kind of had these blinders on and just said, leave us alone. We got it covered. You know what I mean? And we sort of did that a little bit with Hurricane Irene. You know, when all that happened, we immediately went into defensive mode and saying, you know, they are, there's people have some things happening up the mountain. They need more help than us. We've got it covered here. We don't need any help. And we kind of did it on our own, but I really kind of feel like, I wish I could have reached out sooner to other communities and brought those built those bridges sooner.
Do you think that's something that whoever takes over from you should be looking at? That might be. That, I mean, can you leave them with a sort of some positive ideas for the future?
And that is the plan going. That is the plan going forward. I mean, we have time set up to talk to some folks about consolidating some of the services. We're setting time up with town board. I was on a call today with some of the county folks trying to set these up. So building that energy, and then somebody's going to have to take that over. But you know, a lot can happen from September to June.
Right.
You know, so there's going to be a lot
you
of
might
activity.
Change your mind.
I don't know.
I know this has been a rough year.
My wife is listening. She's driving okay. Over here right now. I'd be careful.
Yeah, and I know your parents passed away as well.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Condolences.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add? We've got very little time left, but okay. Just what would you like to? Anything else we haven't asked you? And I know we said rush through.
Yeah.
A
no.
Lot
no.
Of
no.
Stuff,
I think my, you know my last comment is you know don't give up on Catskill. I know that sounds cliche, but I think we're a great investment opportunity right now. We've got to get people coming back with energy. Come to our board meetings. We've got three people that show up at board meetings. It's unacceptable.
Okay. You hear that, listeners? Please come to board meetings. That was Vincent Seeley, president of the Catskill Village Board. Thank you so much for being on the afternoon show, Vincent.
Thank you for having me.